When he walks among us, all that he does, all of his mercy and all of his love, if the pen of the writer could write every day, even his words could never contain just how I've been blessed. Warmth in the winter, flowers in spring, laughter of summer, and the changing of leaves. There's food on my table, I've got a good place to sleep, clothes on my back and shoes on my feet. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. Arms that will raise, a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, and legs that can walk, ears that can listen, and eyes that can see. Oh, I've got to praise him as long as I breathe, for I have been blessed. A father and mother who nurtured and raised, brothers and sisters, sweet memories made. Our pastor to lead us, an altar to pray, stripes that can heal, and the blood that can save. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. We live in a country, still the greatest on earth. Our flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in the harbor, Miss Liberty calls. All have gave some, but some gave it all for me to be blessed. And he's my shoulder to lean on when I am down, the rock where he leads me when I'm so overwhelmed, the place where he hides me under his wings. He's not just a song, he's the reason I sing, for I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. God has been good, so good. We have been blessed. You've prayed a thousand prayers, but still the answer hasn't come. And a thousand hopes left broken have left you all but done. I can't begin to tell you why He's asking you to wait. But here in the silence, keep holding on to faith, 'cause the God I know can still move mountains. The God I know still calms the raging sea. He holds you safely in His arms, and He won't let go. That's the God I know. Our God is always near to those who call upon His name. And He said that He'd be with us when we're walking through the flame. So tell your heart to trust Him. In this moment, give Him praise. Lift a hallelujah, 'cause He will make a way. The God I know can still move mountains. The God I know still calms the raging sea. Safely in His arms, and He won't let go. That's the God I know. I've seen Him move so many times before. And if there's one thing I know for sure, and He won't let go. That's the God I know.
Bibles with me for just a moment, if you would, to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter number 11 is where we are back. First time we've been in Ecclesiastes 11 here in the last couple weeks. And of course it was in chapter number 9. But tonight the Lord sort of laid this on our heart. Don't really think. Some of you are sort of surprised Sunday night. Probably the shortest message I ever preached was Sunday night, when it wasn't one of those letter rip services. But that's what I had on Sunday night, and that's what I tried to give you. And I really don't think this will be too awful long. But there's some great wisdom that we can learn from the book of Ecclesiastes. Of course, it's one of those little books that are sandwiched in. It's a very complex book, by the way. As you look at it, man, you have to really think And you really have to pray and ask God to help you as you study through the 12 chapters of Ecclesiastes. If you have trouble finding it, you just go to find the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, then you flip to the right, you'll find Proverbs. Then you'll run right smack dab into the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 11. And I think it's worth hitting tonight so you can get this. You can turn or you can look at it later. I'm going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. But in verse number 1, the Bible said the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Now, we understand that Solomon was the human author that penned this down. He's referred to as the preacher. And tonight, if I could put a title on the message of this evening, it'd be lessons from the preacher. There's some lessons that we all can learn. There's several applications that we'll look at tonight in chapter number 11. Probably this passage I'm going to read is probably some of the most well-known. If you think about Ecclesiastes, when I start reading this, certainly verse number 1 will be one that'll jump out at you and say, hey, I've heard that before. And there may be some unfamiliar passages that you look at in other places, but these six verses that we're going to look at tonight should be very, very familiar. But this is where we're looking at with lessons from the preacher out of Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And if you found your place, if you could just stand with us in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God, Ecclesiastes 11. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. And notice what the Bible said. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Now let's pray. Father, as we bow God in your presence, Lord, again tonight, saying thank you for the privilege, Lord, to assemble on this midweek service. And God, thank you for the good singing, God, tonight. Lord, I hope it's prepared our hearts to receive the Word of God this evening. It was a blessing to me personally. Now, Father, I pray that you'd take your Word tonight. Help us to apply it, Lord, to our heart and our life. Help this feeble preacher now to just decrease that Jesus may be increased and lifted up. Lord, again, I confess that I'm nothing. You are everything. God, touch those tonight that are struggling, that are sick, that are hurting. Meet every need. Now, God, touch us in this hour. If there's one listening unsaved, God, may tonight be the night of salvation. God, help us to walk a little closer to you. And we're going to give you thanks. We're going to give you praise for what you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated tonight. We've read this text, and as I've said at the beginning of this, it's probably very, very familiar. We think about cast thy bread upon the water. Several songs that make mention to that verse as you go back and you think about some of the songs, even the newer songs, some of the older songs, made a reference to this passage. But of course, chapter number 1 and verse 1, Solomon is referred to as the son of the king, and he was the king of Israel, son of David, and he was referred to as a preacher. And there are several lessons that we can learn here in these six verses. When you study the book of Ecclesiastes, as I've said already said tonight, that it's a complex book, but it's a book of wisdom. It gets right down, Brother Cameron, where we live. If we study it out, there's some principles, there's some things that we can apply to our heart and our life to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe that. And there's several things that we're going to look at this evening, some of these lessons from the preacher being Solomon. But Solomon had found out, basically, as you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, he had found out what he wanted didn't always work. I mean, what he personally wanted didn't always work. But he also found this out, Brother Kevin, what God always wanted, if he would put that into practice, it always worked. And that hadn't changed today. I mean, I've got my desires, you've got your desires, and boy, sometimes our desires will line up with the will of God, but sometimes our ways don't work, but God's ways always work. And I believe Solomon had found that out. Now, keep in mind, according to the Word of God, he was the wisest man that lived outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. God had granted him and given him wisdom. And I believe Solomon was on up in years when he penned this down. And think about this for just a little bit. Although Solomon was wise, he had made his share of mistakes. Now, every one of us can sympathize with Solomon right there. I mean, you go through life, you're going to make mistakes. There's going to be times you're going to stumble. Have you ever caught yourself saying, man, why did I do that? Or I should have done that. And there's a good phrase. Notice I almost preached on this, and I won't let the cat out of the bag because that might be coming Sunday. Look at the last part of verse number 6. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Have you ever wondered, man, I should have done this instead of that? I should have done this instead of that. How many times would Solomon, the wisest man, look back and he looked on his life and yeah, he made his share of mistakes, but what he come to realize is this, that his ways didn't always work, but God's ways always did work. And that's what I want to relay to you tonight, because I believe that's what he's trying to tell us in these six verses. I guess he's looking and he's pinning this down, and basically in one sense he's saying, man, if I could live my life over, this is what I would do. And he relays that to you and I. I remember when Brother Ronnie Evans, when right before he passed away and he was diagnosed with cancer, and Brother Ronnie, he'd tell me with tears in his eyes, he said, preacher, I wish I could just go back and start. He said, I know I can't, but he said, man, I made so many mistakes. I'd love to get a rerun, but hey, we don't get a rerun. We don't get to do it again, and he understood that. But he said, man, if I could live life again, I'd do things a little bit different. And I believe that's what Solomon is laying out for us, and God help us. You know, we can't change our past. None of us can. All of us would go back, we might make some adjustments and might change some things, but the reality is this, you can't go back. But from this day forward, God can allow us to make decisions and make commitments to the Lord as we move forward. But there's some principles in chapter 11 that can be applied several different ways. There's three of them that I'm really going to hone in on that God really dealt with me about, and they all start with B. The first one is this. There's a way that we can apply this passage, the first six verses, in relation to business and to business practices. There's also another way that we can apply it. We can apply it to our benevolence and how we give and show act of kindness to others. And then there's also that can be applied with our bounty. And when I'm talking about bounty, where he makes reference to that, to the sowing of the seed and talking about the harvest and observing the wind. Certainly those three areas, it can be applied in our heart and our life. To think about in the business world or in the financial world, whatever you work, whatever you do, listen to what the Bible said when he said, cast, verse number 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Now that can be applied to the business aspect of things when it comes to finances. He goes on to say in verse 2, give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. And that's dealing with diversity. We often think about when you invest money, you better diversify. We would say this statement, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Why? Because something may raid that one basket. Have multiple baskets. That's what he's talking about, that 7 or that 8. Cast that bread upon the waters. We better learn to invest. Now somebody say, well, wait a minute, preacher. I thought Jesus was coming again. Well, he is. He still ain't changed his mind. But he didn't tell me when he is coming. He didn't tell you when he is coming. He didn't tell nobody else. We ought to live like, man, he could come today. But you better plan and prepare like it could be another 50 years. Again, a failure to plan is a plan to fail. And a lot of that has to do with our finances. And certainly in the business world, you better be able to invest and to invest wisely. It's good to plan and good to certainly prepare, because it's sort of like this. Somebody told me not too long ago, they said, man, preacher, if I knew I was going to live this long, I'd took better care of myself. Now, how many people would say this? Preacher, if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have saved more money. I would have invested more money. A lot of folks would be like that. They really would. But think about this. When you think about the business side, we know it's easier to spend than it is to save. Now, can I get a witness right there? It's easier to spend than it is to save. But you got to cast that bread upon the waters. And certainly it can be applied in the business aspect of things. And we better learn to do that. Think about Solomon. Solomon, he was the king of Israel, And certainly when you think about casting your bread upon the waters, that has to do with trade and commerce. Now, Solomon knew something about that. How do we know? Well, listen to what the Bible said in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse number 22. Now, of course, this is a reference to Solomon. 1 Kings 10 and verse 22. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. One of these days, Brother Wayne, I'm going to preach on those apes and those peacocks, but it ain't going to be tonight. But when you think about this, Solomon sent that ship out, and every 3 years it would come back and it would bring all those supplies back. But it had never come back, Brother Kevin, had it never been sent. There was an investment. He cast his bread upon the waters. And the Bible goes on to say, for thou shalt find it after many days. Again, don't put all your resources in one basket or in one ship. Do seven, do eight, because you don't know what evil's going to fall to one of the ships. If you got it all on that one ship, you're going to lose it all. Same thing with the investment. Boy, I tell you, I ain't got that much in there to worry about it. But boy, a lot of folks lost a lot of money the last year or two. Now, ain't that true? In the stock market and different things with mutual funds, and you put it all in one basket, it can be wiped away. That's why you got to diversify. And that's the principle of business. But then there's also the principle of bounty and having a bountiful harvest. Notice what the scripture said. I'm coming back to verse 3 in just a second, but look at verse number 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. He talks about sowing of the seed. Now you go ask any farmer, and sometimes you got to wait for the land to dry. Man, it ain't a problem right now because the ground is so wet. But you just wait about June or July when we're all begging for rain. But you know, if you observe the wind, say, well, you know what, I'm not gonna sow seed today because the wind's blowing along or blowing the wrong way. Or there's a cloud in the sky over here, I believe I'm not gonna reap today. You would never get anything done. You'd never get anything done. He said, don't just observe, and it's good, and I guess with you got weather forecasts and all that, you better not put too much stock in that. We've seen how many times it just lets us know that there's one that's in charge, and it ain't the meteorologist or whatever your favorite news station is. God can change the weather, but don't be caught observing the wind and observing the clouds, because you won't ever get anything done. Notice what he said in verse 5. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not all the works of God who maketh all. And I'll say more about that in just a second. Look at verse 6. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. He's talking about the morning. He's talking about the evening. You know what that covers? That covers all day. He says, be active. Don't be inactive, be active in sowing the seed. You know, think about this, man's responsibility or man's business is to sow the seed. God's business is to give the harvest. Our responsibility is to sow that seed. God's responsibility is to bring fruit about it and to bring that harvest. What we're to do is to sow the seed and let God give the increase. There's been times when you hand out tracts, and I encourage you to do that. We got a whole boatload of them. There's a bunch back here in the back, and they'll soon be out here in the front of the vestibule again. The new tracts, I encourage you to take them. You might say, well, it ain't making a difference over here. Well, I'll tell you this, it won't make a difference if you don't never sow the seed. You sow the seed, don't watch for the wind and the rain and the clouds. Don't look at the circumstance. Just sow the seed. Leave the results up to God. That's His business. Our business is to sow the seed. Now, that's true in the physical realm. If you want corn, man, you got to sow the seed. You want green beans. You want tomatoes. You're going to have to roll up your sleeves, and you're going to have to work. But don't get caught off guard by observing the wind and the clouds, the circumstances around you. We're to just sow. In other words, we're to seize every opportunity. Don't just serve the Lord when it feels good. Don't just serve the Lord when you feel like it. We ought to seize every opportunity. Well, preacher, it's raining. I mean, today was a miserable day. I mean, Sunday was a miserable day. I'm talking about cold and wet. But it's still a good day to serve the Lord. Seize that opportunity to try to be a blessing to somebody along the way. Sow those seeds. There'll come a day when you're going to have a need in your life, and we'll say more about that here in just a second. But don't wait for the perfect weather to sow your seed. So it certainly can be applied from the business aspect, the first couple verses. Casting your bread upon the water, after many days it's going to return. We understand that. He talks about sowing the seed. Don't get caught looking at the clouds and at the rain. He said, in the morning, sow the seed. In the evening, don't withhold that. Every day, we ought to sow seeds. And I'm of the believer of this, brother. Can we all sow seeds? Whether good seeds, whether bad seeds, we're scattering them everywhere we go. And there'll be a harvest one day. Our responsibility is to sow them. We ought to sow the good seeds. But I really want to dig on this last one when it comes to benevolence. I believe, Mace, you study a lot of the commentaries that may follow after Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Most of them believe that benevolence was in mind as this was pinned down. Of course, he used the illustration of that ship carrying that ship abroad or the cargo abroad. And we've read that in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse number 22 that Solomon did that. He sent it, and every 3 years he'd come back. He'd send it and they'd come back. And we see the business can be applied, the bounty to seize every opportunity. But notice the benevolence. And I believe, and this is what God really spoke to my heart about, when you read these first six verses, he's really talking about giving and giving unto others. You say, well, how in the world do you see that? Well, notice in the scripture, because I believe it's talking about investing today in order to prepare for tomorrow. Now, we ought to live, again, like today may be our last day on planet Earth. But we ought to invest, not only financially. It'd be foolish not to invest financially in the future. But it's also foolish not to invest in other people's lives. Because notice with me in verse number 1, I'm going to try to give you an example of this. He said, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Then he said in verse 2, give a portion to 7, also to 8. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. So there's a principle in verse number 2 that there's an evil day that is coming. He said, cast your bread upon the waters. There's times when you and I, and I believe probably everybody in here has seen this. You've either been a recipient of it or you've been a giver on this regard. Maybe a need comes up within the church family, and maybe you take some food to somebody because we do that quite often. There may be a sickness or so. Some have done that this week within our church family, taking food to somebody, and maybe taking food, and maybe they're doing good right now. They're taking food, but if they live long enough, that thing will flip. And there'll come a time, the one that was trying to show that act of kindness to somebody, it's going to return to them. That's God's mathematics, by the way. When you give to be a blessing to somebody else, you're casting that bread upon the waters. Certainly that bread of provision to an act of kindness, being a blessing to somebody. And right now you're doing pretty good, man. You're on top of the mountain, but somebody else is struggling over here, and God puts it on your heart. You go with no intent in mind, but you just go to be a blessing. Somewhere down the road, maybe even the same crowd or some of their family is going to be a blessing to you when they're back up on the mountaintop and you're down in that low spot. It will return. Now listen, God's mathematics never, never fail. Just like in the financial realm, diversify. He said there in verse number 2, give a portion to 7 and also to 8. We ought not just look out and say, well, I'm just the only person I'm going to help is Brother Kevin. Only person I'm going to help is Brother Randy. No, you ought to look out, because you ain't got to look far to see some needs, to show some acts of kindness to somebody. And the more that you're a blessing to, when that evil day comes in your life, there'll be more to show up to help you. Does that make sense? It's benevolence, and I believe that's some lessons from the preacher. Sure, in the business world it'll work. In the bounty world, you better sow those seeds. Don't look at the clouds. Don't look at the wind. Man, you better just sow those seeds in the morning and in the evening time, withhold not all day long. You better sow that seed. But then we see the benevolent side of things. Somebody made this statement, and think about this, as I said a second ago. God's mathematics, they never fail. In Luke 6, in verse number 38, Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. That's God's mathematics. You give, and God will give back. We think about this, and somebody made the statement a long time ago. They said, man, you know, God just keeps dumping blessings on you. Well, listen, the more that you throw in His direction and to be a blessing to somebody else, the more He will give back unto you. Now listen, I don't believe in this prosperity preaching all this. You come to Christ, all your problems go away. But you better rest assured there's blessings in giving. It's God's mathematics. He will give back to you. Think about Malachi 3, verse number 10. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now here, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. When we make an investment in the work of God, God promises a greater return than what we gave. And I'll show you that here in just a moment in the scripture in a couple passages. But when you think about being benevolent to folks, showing acts of kindness, giving to the ministry, not only here at church, we ain't talking about just tithing. And the Bible talks about tithes and offerings. And listen, thank God the tithe is the local church, and it goes to the local church. That is the storehouse. Your tithe don't go to your favorite evangelist. It don't go to the missionary. Your tithe goes to the local church. It'll work anywhere. If you're a part of a Bible preaching church, that tithe goes to that church. But then those offerings are above the tithe. And you try to be you give an offering. Maybe we have special offerings occasion. Not that long ago, we took up that offering for GBI Radio for them to help purchase that building and to do some remodeling inside that building. God's people give, and they give those offerings unto the Lord. That's part, and understand this, as we give, then God's on the line to keep His word. Now, I ain't going to let you down. Let me repeat that. I can let you down. I made a mistake right there. I will let you down. That's not my intent. But God will never let you down. I may make a promise to you, Brother Cameron, I might not be able to keep. But when God promises something, He's going to see it through. Now, a lot of folks love to quote Philippians 4:19, which is a good verse. It says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches of glory by Christ Jesus. Now, you can't just pull out that verse and claim it without looking at the context of that. You go back just a few verses back prior to that, in Philippians chapter number 4, he's talking to the church in Philippi. When he was in Thessalonica, they sent once and again unto his necessity to meet his need. They gave monetarily. And Paul said in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If we don't give, if we don't do our part, God is not obligated to do His part to bless us. Does that make sense? And that's Scripture. That's what the Bible said. But God's mathematics never, never fail. And He's talking about giving here. And do understand, we think about Nehemiah 8. Think about this. Nehemiah chapter 8. I was going to read this verse. Nehemiah chapter number 8 and verse number 10. Of course, the people have responded. They've already rebuilt the walls of Nehemiah. And they're worshiping the Lord. But in verse number 10 of Nehemiah chapter 8, then He said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions, listen now, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. There's a lot of needs in our world. He said, I want you to send portions. That sort of sounds like Ecclesiastes chapter number 11 and verse number 2 to the 7 and the 8. Send portions unto them whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now we hold on to that verse, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it is our strength, but we've got to do our part to give unto those that are unprepared. There's a need in their life, and as we give, there's benevolence involved. Now think about this. Look with me in verse 3. Very interesting verse, but it's very simple. He said, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Now, what's that a reference to as we give? You know what we have? You know how many opportunities we got in life, Brother Randy? One. Uno. That's it. We got one opportunity in life, and we ought to empty our lives for the cause of Christ down here on planet earth. But when those clouds empty themselves upon the earth, they move on. They've they've fulfilled their purpose. One day, I'll lay down my life. One day, you'll lay down your life. That's why you better seize every opportunity. Notice he goes on to say, if clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He's talking about this tree falling. Now, don't get hung up on the direction. It talks about the north. It talks about the south. There's a finality in things. As long as that tree's standing up, Brother Cameron, it's tapped into a life supply. But when it tumbles over, it's done. The purpose of the tree is done as it falls over. That's the same holds true for our life. There will come a day, and as you look through the book of Ecclesiastes, all through, he talks about the certainty of death and the uncertainty of life. But one day, we'll close our eyes in death. There'll be no more opportunities to show benevolence to somebody, to be a blessing, to show acts of kindness to someone along the way. Even today, and I said I'd try to explain, they'll cast that bread upon the water in verse number 1, for thou shalt find it after many days. I shared in a prayer time about Brother Mike Johnson, one of our deacons up at Mount Sinai years ago. Still love that family. All that crowd up there is still precious to me, and I love them dearly. And I went down today, and I'd seen him a couple days this week there at Forsyth Hospital. And they live so far away that his wife Susie just staying, you know, right there at the hospital. And I told her, I said, hey, is there anything I can bring? She said, hey, I may take you up on that one day. Well, I called on the way down today. I said, can I bring you anything? She said, I believe so. I'm hungry. So I said, what do you want? So I went by Chick-fil-A. I got whatever, I forget what, those little 3 chicken strips or whatever it was. And I took them to her. Now, you say, well, now that's what you did for them. But well, now, wait a minute. You don't know what they did for me over, well, I've been down here almost 12 years. I was up there for 7 years, and there's a lot of times, Brother Kevin, they came and they ministered unto me and to my family. And it was my opportunity to go and to minister unto them. Although many months and many days and even many years have lapsed, you see, there was a time in their life where they cast their bread upon the water. And oh, yeah, today that was just a little small token that came back to them. I could tell you that numerous times where folks have been a blessing to me. And likewise, that's what we're supposed to, because God's mathematics never, never fail. But think about this. We think about Nehemiah 8. Our joy comes from our giving. Some old timer said this a long time ago. He said, you better do your giving while you're living so you can be knowing where it's going. Does that make sense? Do your giving while you're living so you can be knowing where it's going. And that's why I often say, man, you might as well go ahead and give now. You might as well go ahead and spend now, because when you're dead and gone, your kids are going to fight over it. Amen. Y'all just give it to the church. Let the deacons fight over it. Amen. Y'all need a little humor right there. But seriously, we ought to do our giving while we're living so we'll be knowing where it's going. But when that tree falls, when that cloud empties its rain out upon the earth, its purpose is finished. Our purpose will be finished one day. And that's some of the lessons that he's trying to tell us. But I want you to notice with me Matthew 25. I'm going to read this. Well, look with me in verse 5 before we even go over there. He said, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. Now, again, we ought to give while we can. That empty ourselves on planet Earth while we got that opportunity. But we got to also give when we don't see the end result. You know, there's a lot of mysteries in life. Now, I believe we ought to make good decisions. Now, we, as our staff, our deacon board, we fellows know this. And there's one thing that people don't like. They don't like accountability. And we've learned that. There's folks that come, and we try to help folks. We do. There's people that come from time to time. But I'll tell you what happens when you set them down after about 1 or 2 times the same, and I don't want to say repeat offenders, but I mean the same thing over and over again. You want to try to help them. Don't just keep throwing money into an empty hole. Let's try to help them get on some kind of budget or something where they can be self-sufficient. I believe that's part of our responsibility as well. But what we figured out, Brother Wayne, is this. They don't like to be held accountable. But now we'll help anybody that we possibly can. I'm talking about outside the church, inside the church, what have you. We'll try to be a blessing along the way. And I have no idea where I was even going. I know where I was going. We think about the mysteries. There's some things that I can't answer. There's some things that you can't answer. Sometimes we have to give in good faith. But I want you to notice that. He said that the way, who knowest, as thou knowest not the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. There's a lot of mysteries in life. I mean, when right now Sister Stephanie is pregnant, and that little baby will be on before too awful long. But right now you can't see inside of that womb. You can't see that little child. There's some mystery until that little child is born. No man knows the way of the Spirit. That word Spirit is pneuma, which is certainly interpreted wind, which is also a reference to the Holy Spirit of God. But we don't know the mind of the Spirit at times. We can't see what God is doing in the womb on that little child. And there's some mysteries, but here's what we got to do. Again, as I said earlier, our responsibility is to sow. It's God's business to bring about the harvest. It's God's business to bring about the fruit. We do our due diligence and we show benevolence to those that are in need, showing those acts of caring to people. That's what it's about when we think about believers. You know, and we say this a lot, but we're really the only church that some folks will ever see. There's people I'll win, you won't be able to win. There's people that you'll win that I won't be able to win, but we got to do our due part. You go to work, a lot of times folks are unchurched and they see you. You're a reflection not only of your local assembly and not only of your family, but you're a reflection of the Lord. We may be that one opportunity that will steer them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't save them. You can't save them. But that act of kindness, somebody going through a tragic issue. And I hear the last little bit, and which y'all know this. Y'all been around me long enough to know. It's almost like, man, if I could have a title for my ministry, Brother Cameron, you know what it'd be? The funeral preacher. Ain't that about right? I mean, you go and people call, and I couldn't tell you. I've got a list of them, well over 200 now, that of people that you do funerals for. Some of them ain't even attached to the church. Some of them are families. But I tell you what I've learned right here, Sister Jenny. You can minister a lot of, and there's a lot of folks that are at Faith Community Baptist Church today because of a situation and a circumstance where there was death in the family, and you go and you try to be a blessing and encouragement to those people, and man, they don't ever forget it. They don't ever forget it. Showing that act of kindness, and here's the thing. When, you know, we've always tried to, listen, I'm not perfect. You, please don't think I'm trying to toot my horn, because I'm not. But you try to help people along the way, and I remember when Gracie was born, I'll never forget this. We was in that revival meeting. Brother Kevin Broyhill was here preaching from the pulpit on that Wednesday night, and Gracie was born a month early. There was a multitude from Faith that left church that night that come down and invaded, really, I'd say that. They invaded that hospital. I mean, packed it out in there in the room. Why? Because I tried to give them. They're giving back. And we do that numerous times. There's folks in some of you right now. Well, I've leaned on you, and you've leaned on me. And that's the way it's supposed to be, by the way. We're to lean upon one another. We as a church family, that's what we're to do. But I believe the preacher here in Solomon has some lessons he's trying to tell us about benevolence. Do our due diligence to give while we've got the opportunity. Seize every opportunity that you've got and make those investments. I'll close with this in Matthew 25. I don't believe I'm going to read it all. I encourage you to go back and read it. As Sister Caitlin comes, Matthew 25, basically, this is the parable of the talents. These talents were given. You can study it out. This man was going into a far country, and he took what he had and gave it unto his servants. He gave five to one. He gave two to the other, and he gave one to another fellow. Well, the first two, the one went, and he made an investment. And when the owner came back, sure enough, I mean, he had multiplied. He got five more talents, so now he's got ten. Then the one that was given two talents, he went and made an investment, and he got a return on his investment. He had two more, so he's got four. But this other fellow, he hid his, didn't go out, didn't invest anything whatsoever. And when his Lord came back, he didn't have nothing to offer. And you know, the first two, the one had five talents, one had two talents. You know, they each got the same thing till the very end. The Bible said this in verse number 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now that's what he said to the one that had five, started with five, and he gained five, so he's got 10. He made an investment, and he had a return on his investment. Then you drop down to the one that had two. Look there in verse number 23. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." So here, the one that had five, Brother Cameron, and the one that had two got the same reward. But drop down, that one fella that wasted his, didn't seize his opportunity. The Bible goes down and it says this in verse 28, "Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. So the one that had 10, he gets an extra one. You say, "Well, that ain't fair." Well, listen to that one fella. He invested his, and he got a return. This other fella didn't do an investing at all. God had given him everything that he had, and he never struck a lick at a thing. Basically, that's the way of saying it. But look at verse 29. "For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath." There's a lot of folks that get hung up on that verse and say, "Preacher, I don't understand that." I want to read that again. Notice now, verse 29. "For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath." You mean to tell me God's going to take it away from somebody and he's going to give to another? Yeah, because he knows what we're going to do with it. He knows what Brian's going to do with what I've been given. He knows what you're going to do with what you've been given. And we ought to make that investment for the glory of God, whether it's in business, whether it's in bounty, whether it is in benevolence. We ought to don't look for the clouds. Don't look for the wind, man. Don't say, "Well, it's morning time. I'll do it in the afternoon." No, in the morning sow your seed. In the evening, don't withhold thy seed. Again, it's our business to sow. It's God's business to give the harvest. And we got to do our due diligence. And one day, old Brian's going to stand in the presence of the Lord. Oh, yeah. I ain't going to be pushing to get to the front of the line. You ain't either, by the way. But we better do what we're going to do down here, because as that tree falls to the north or toward the south, that's where it's going to be. Those clouds empty rain upon the earth, and then their purpose is fulfilled. One day, this old preacher's going to close. Well, I ain't old yet, but I'm going to get a little older every day. I'm going to close my eyes in death, and you're going to close your eyes in death. And what we've done for the Lord Jesus Christ is what makes the difference. We better cast our bread upon the water, seize that opportunity while God's give us life for today. As we stand all over the house, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, let's pray. Father, and I love you. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to share the Word of God tonight. Lord, I feel like I struggled through this. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take this and apply it to our heart and to our life. God, help us to show that benevolence to folks around us. Lord, we know that the investment we make, Lord, you'll give us a greater return. Father, help us to be faithful. I'm reminded you tell us in your word, 1 Corinthians 4:2, that it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God, help us to be faithful with what you've been entrusted us with. And we're going to give you thanks. We're going to give you praise for what you do. If there's one listening tonight never been saved, I pray that tonight be the night of salvation. God, help us to take these principles and apply them to our heart and our life. Help us to prepare so we will not fail in the days ahead. And we'll give you thanks, give you praise for what you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry. It's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation. They prepare for retirement. They seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words and good works and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" Well, first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them, if you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sins. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.